big and varied crowd. So then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Praise and glory to God. Oops, wrong page. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakaronga ki te wairua, a te kupu ki te hāhi.
Thanks be to God.
And te rongapai tāpū ki te ritinga a Matthew, te toru upoko, ka timata te kaumātoro, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rangapai tēnei a te karaiti.
Praise Christ the word.
Thank you, Sue. Baptism is one of my favourite occasions to celebrate in the church. There is nothing better than seeing people declare for themselves that Jesus is Lord and want him to walk in his ways. I just think that's such an amazing thing to celebrate. Now, baptism itself is not the thing that transforms us. The thing that transforms us with God is what happens in here when we make a choice to choose to follow Jesus. It's what happens in here. But baptism is a sacrament, and a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and visible grace. So it's an outward symbol of what God is doing in here, which I think is really exciting. In the Anglican Church, there's two sacraments, things that we consider so important in that way. I'm a little more Catholic in my approach. I'd kind of consider some other things, like marriage, perhaps. But these are really important occasions. The other one in the Anglican Church, other than baptism, is communion. And communion is so important that we all gather at this table every single week to celebrate. And baptism is so important that we put everything else in the church on hold to be able to come together as family here in this place, to be able to welcome people in. It's an outward and visible sign of the new covenant through Jesus. The old covenant had circumcision, the new covenant has baptism. Personally, as a guy, I'm happy about that. That was too much information, sorry. But there are all these symbols involved, aren't there? There is water. We use water because there's the symbolism of being washed of our sin. There's the symbolism of going under the water and being raised up, just as Jesus went to death and was raised to new life. So it is that we are dying to our old selves. This is what we're doing today, or Glenn and Hannah particularly are doing today. They are choosing to die to their old selves and be raised to the hope of a new life with God. And so I just think that is something so much to celebrate. Now, back in the day, occasionally people would do this in little private ceremonies or all that sort of thing, but it's actually, I think, really important that we do this together as a church, that we put everything else on hold. There's no kids' church today. We're changing up our service. We're focusing down on our baptism because this is such an important occasion, and it's important that it happens in community, in faith, in this body that we call the church, because we're welcoming them. We're welcoming in two more people to say, yep, we're walking with you. We're going to support you on this faith journey, because none of us walk by faith alone, do we? We walk in community, we'll celebrate with them in community, and we'll take communion here at this table together in community. So can I ask Glenn and his sponsors and Hannah, and any kids who want to come up with Hannah, we've got bean bags down here. If you want to get up close and just see what's going on, you're welcome to come on down. Can I ask you guys to come up now, and you'll just need to bring your little bit of paper there. Come on up. Oh, yeah. Have a bean bag, sir. Nice. Have a beanbag. Splash down. Glenn, do you want to come over this side? Ziggy, come over this side. All right, I'll go over this side. You guys all come this way. Kids on the beanbags. Nice. Come on in. Aiden's coming for the splash down. Nice. Lovely. Fantastic. Come on over a little bit more. There we go. So everyone can see you. Fantastic. Thanks for coming up, crew. I know Hannah will really appreciate that. She gets a bit nervous. Here we go. They're all coming. Here we go. Come on in. E te whānau a te karaite, dear friends in Christ, God is love. God gives us life. We love because God first loves us. In baptism, God declares that love, and in Christ, God calls us to respond. As we heard in our Acts reading today, from the beginning the church has received believers by baptism. Believers' children have also been baptized so that with help and encouragement they should grow up in Christ and by the grace of God serve Christ all the days of their life. On the day, as we just heard, when the apostles first preached the gospel of Christ's resurrection, Peter urged his hearers, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God may call. So Hannah and Glenn, how then do you respond to this promise? Do you renounce all evil influences and powers that rebel against God? Do you trust in Christ's victory, which brings forgiveness, freedom, and life? Ziggy, got some words for you here, mate. Will you love Glenn and share your faith in Christ with him?
I always have, and I always will.
Ah, well, bless you, mate. We're going to ask you guys just to share a little bit in your own... I mean, those are words that the church has been using for 2,000 years. So just ask you to share a little testimony in your own words. Hannah.
Take it away.
Thank you. I actually have some props that I didn't bring up with me. But I also want to stand in the middle down here where we sometimes do baptisms when we do them in the building, because it's by the door and it's like the entrance in. And I received such a warm welcome when I came. And also I've got some friends who have joined me, and they're all at the back, so that's where we all sit. So if you can just bear with me, but that's where I'd like to be. But my props, I've also got some photos for the screen. All right, so how did I get here today ready to be baptized? It's funny, my dad wrote the little word in the news sheet today, and he actually references to this little exercise, which is a picture of my life in 8 grids. So I grew up in a family and church where I was introduced to God and encouraged to follow Jesus every day of my life. And I've known the light and the likeness of Christ my whole life. But at the start of this year, I came across this question. What do you really want more of? So many thoughts. But my answer, my real deep answer, was more of Jesus. More attentiveness to God's presence in my life. More recognizing God's voice in my ordinary days. And so at the start of this year, I recommitted to daily gratitude to God, into reading my Bible, into prayer. All good things. All good ways in which people have grown in intimacy with God for thousands of years. And then earlier this year, when Ben asked if anyone was interested in baptism, I thought that this was a good opportunity to be a marker of my renewed commitment to more. More intimacy with God and more of Jesus. And so that is part of the reason I'm here today. And another part of it is what Ben's already talked about, because that's what we do in this church. This is something that we can choose to do with our bodies to show something that's happened within, a decision we've made to be little Christs, Jesus followers. And to fully participate in this church, baptism is a helpful ritual to partake in. And I do love rituals and traditions. Rhythms that help me live out my beliefs and values. And actually, the practices, the rituals and traditions of this church are a big part of the reason I made St. Luke's my new church home when I moved to Waikanae. What I told my friends and family is, I found growing up godly play. And so I want to be baptized in this church with all of you and to say, I belong to you and you to me. So thank you all for being part of this with me, and especially to the friends who have travelled to come be here. Thank you. Now, some of you will already know that this was actually supposed to happen much earlier this year, but unfortunately the night before I was hit with a horrific tummy bug, so be grateful we postponed. But yes, so it's been many months since then. So what else is part of this story, my story with God? There's a podcaster I used to listen to a lot who often asked her interview guests this question. What's something you know about God today that you didn't know a year ago? I recently learned that when Dr. Dallas Willard, a biblical scholar many of us grown-ups might be familiar with, was asked If you could describe Jesus with only one word, what would it be? And he replied, relaxed. 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 And so I thought about it. And yeah, I think I agree. What I know about Jesus seems to fit with this. And Jesus, God, is relaxed with me. Can I relax with Jesus? And that's something that, yes, I've learned this year. I can be relaxed with God. And my daily practices of prayer and the Bible and gratitude are all very good. And I can relax in the presence of God. Most of you will know that I think kids are the best human beings. No offense, adults. And I think one of the big reasons is because tamariki are experts at play. And I love to play. I've been meeting with a spiritual director this year, and we chat and we wonder, kind of like we do in godly play. And one thing we've talked about is that a good picture of my life is a playground. And God, God who is relaxed with me, is playing in all of the playground. Everywhere. And so I can be on the slide and be with God. I can be on the swings and be with God. I can be on that roundabout spinny thing playing with God, living my life with God. God is relaxed with me. I can relax with God. Thank you, God. I've got a picture. It's on the screen already, but here's the original, a painting, which I got for my birthday a few years ago. And it was actually painted by our very own Kathy Proctor. I think it was inspired, or at least it depicts one of her and Andrew's grandchildren. But when I saw it, I immediately felt it was a picture of godly play, of the posture that we take in godly play. Someone, childlike, face turned towards the light like a flower to the sun, reaching out for, playing perhaps with her wonderful God. And the God that I know, that I've known my whole life and who I'm still getting to know more, and who's relaxed with me and who invites me to spend my life in the playground with them, meets me and is with me in the playground of my life. And so, if that podcaster asked me that question, what's something you know about God today that you didn't know a year ago? That's what I'd say. And that, all of that, is why I'm choosing to be baptized today.
Awesome. Glenn, come on up, mate.
Geez, that's a hard act to follow. I don't think I'm going to get even close. To be fair, I wish I'd worn pants because you wouldn't be able to see my knees shaking. It's also nice to see Ben without his Tintin T-shirt on. is it underneath? Yeah. Look, my name's Glenn. I'm here to testify in front of you all and God about my journey. I was adopted at an early age by a family that was quite willing to give me a chance. I'm not used to wearing glasses, so I can't see you and I can't read at the same time, so this is very awkward. My family was a good family. They did their best, very dysfunctional. Mum was only 4'6", so what she lacked in stature, she made up with a pretty sharp tongue. And I saw things I shouldn't have seen, and I heard things I shouldn't have heard. I never really felt like I fit in throughout my whole life. Man, I'm shaking like a leaf. found it hard to make friends. Yeah, yeah. So I turned to a life of alcohol and drugs, and that helped me put on a mask so that I could feel like I'd fit in.
Getting heavy, bro.
Yeah. And the more I went forward, the more I used those things to get by. Okay, going to fast forward 7 years. To the last 7 years, my drinking got worse. I started drinking earlier in the day. Didn't like myself. And it had an effect. I used to ask God for help, and in his wisdom he sent me to hospital 3 times, and I didn't get the message. Now that looking back I do get the message, but I didn't then. So he took away the most important things to me. It's my family. Sorry. I didn't get the hint. I really didn't until it was too late. My whole world crashed around me. I was broken. I was alone. And a lovely lady gave me a book to read. We all know what that book was. In case you haven't got the clue. And in it I found words of hope, which I wrote on sticky notes and stuck around the bus that I was living in. I gave up drinking and I started reading the Bible. I started reading it from the front. And I was a little bit lost. And there were some bits in there that I was very confused at. I won't say what they were, but I'm sure you can all guess if you've started reading from the front, where I had to ask my mate Zig for a little bit of help. And what's going on? Have I got the right book? Is this really what's written in the Bible? Because I'd never read the Bible before. I just didn't know. By the way, I just want to shout out a big happy birthday to Zig.
No. You're not the focus.
I knew I'd get it.
Well,
you're
happy with the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we start singing?
Yeah. Do it later. Anyway. Okay, in the last 2 years, nearly 3 years, I prayed to God daily for my wife to love me again, to be a better father, and to be a full-time father. And my wife never stopped loving me. She just didn't love the person I'd become. And each time I prayed, I always got the words, be patient. That was all I heard. And I was. And I tried to control everything. And it wasn't until I truly surrendered that God answered my prayers. I often prayed, why God didn't you let my wife tell me to stop drinking? And I would have if she'd said, that's it. But I would never have found God if she had. So the infinite wisdom that made me realize. So I've been sober for 3 years.
Well done.
God's taken away my want to drink, I know where it is. I know where I can get it, but I don't want it. What my journey has given me is a peace beyond anything I could ever imagine in my whole life. I repented because that's what I thought I had to do and asked for forgiveness. And believe me, there was lots of things that I had to repent for. And it was a very tough journey. But I've also learned that I had to repent in my soul and in my heart and change my whole way of life, which I've done. I'm a better father, Abrax. Better husband. My boys have followed me a bit on my journey. Zeppelin, my oldest boy, has come to Alpha with me. He goes to youth group. He was going to be here today, but he's running back down from Kapa Kapa Nui. And the other thing is that I bumped into Ben on the street, and he asked me how I was doing, and I got to genuinely say, I'm doing the best I've ever done. I don't worry about tomorrow, and I don't worry about yesterday. I just live today with God by my side. If you leave everything in God's hands, sooner or later you'll see God's hands in everything. Thank you, God. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
I'd just like to have a shout out to all the ladies and the team behind Alpha. We're not here. We're here because of what you guys did, and I really appreciate that, eh? Hopefully there'll be another Alpha soon because we'll be there again.
Awesome. Okay, you can have a seat for now. We're about to, as I say, gather and take communion. And as we do, come on up, and I'm sorting this out, the team's going to play that song, you know, the blessing? May God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And so as we sing that, I just wonder if you might just hold Glenn and Hannah up to God as we sing and we pray together. And also as you come today, it's an opportunity, I think, for us to remember our baptism, to remember God's grace towards us and just to allow our own faith to be built up. It's one of the things I love about baptism services. It always reminds me of my own baptism, my own choice to follow Jesus. And if you haven't been baptized and you think, oh, those are some pretty powerful stories, love to chat to you afterwards, and we're always open to that. Our next baptism service is going to be on the 31st of March, so that would be maybe something to think about as well. Kids, if you want, I'm going to get communion ready, and you're welcome to come with me and see what we do up there if you'd like. Otherwise, you can stay and sing or do whatever you want to do. Let's stand and let's hold these two in prayer as we sing the blessing.
children, and their children, and their children. Make your presence go before you, move behind you, and beside you, all around you. He is with you, he is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming, and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing.
And you made us in your own image. When we sinned and turned away, you sent us Jesus, your Son, who became one of us, so that we might become one with you. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name together, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Well, glory be to you, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son, Jesus Christ, took bread. When he had given you thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and celebrating his rising from the tomb, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favor on your people and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted. Let the oppressed go free and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. United with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. And as Christ teaches us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is. I want to hold one. Everyone needs to see it. Yeah. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share one bread. Hare mai, Etakahu yata atatua, come God's flock. Hari mai ki te tepu atakarati, come to the table of Christ. That's what I was saying.